Our meeting for Thursday, December 16, 2021. Moku Kiawe. Aloha, everybody. Hope everybody's doing well. Sorry for my tardiness. I am a high school educator, and unfortunately, it's hard. We can't find any substitutes, so we still got to run our classes and still do what we got to do. So here I am. Here I am. Best as can be. I apologize that we don't have quorum. I was informed that we would have had, based upon what I saw earlier, it seemed like we had as of yesterday, but not too sure what happened as of today. Kia rightfully said, we can hear testimony, but unfortunately we can't make any decisions today because of lack of quorum. And when I see the, without even include the approval of the minutes for October 14, 2021 as well. Yes, Clifford.
We can take his testimony and then we can, can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you, brother. Let me turn up. Go ahead.
Yeah, we can take his testimony, and that testimony can be transcribed by Kea as being written, and we can share that with the other members when they come, so that we don't impose upon one of a person coming to give their testimony. The fact that we're disadvantaged during this period of no power, no nothing, comes from this, the state emergency clause that mandates this vaccine stuff. So this is the bullshit I'm talking about. The state's going to leverage the law for their favor, but when it comes to the average citizen, we're getting screwed. That's bullshit. So all I'm saying is, show me the law that allows you to do what you say you're going to do. Because right now, this, the person coming to give the testimony is protected under the Second Amendment. He has a right to give that. It's our responsibility to take his testimony, not to put the burden on him. So is everybody clear with that? So the state has got to record what he says, give that to the rest of the members so that we can look at it at the convenience of the person giving the testimony. They shouldn't be held hostage to our lack of professionalism. Are we clear on that? Any questions about that?
Crystal.
All right. Let's go.
I agree. Kelly, is it Gould or Gold?
It's Gould.
Gold?
Yeah, Gold.
You better aloha. Kelly did show up today, and presuming that there would be a quorum so that we'd be able to hear, I would agree that at least I'd like to hear what he has to say, and then we can definitely be able to advocate on his behalf at the next meeting. Of course, you are cordially welcome to join us at the next meeting as well, Kelly. Okay. Just so you know, but we won't be able to make any determination today, but we do want to hear what you have to say with regards to your. Let me see real quick here. So apparently you apply for cultural descendancy?
Correct.
Okay, just making sure that we have the right descendancy here, yeah? Okay, so again, folks, since we cannot approve the minutes, we will, sorry, let me give it back. Let's do the roll call first, please, if you don't mind at least, yeah? Naleka Akalau, Hamakua.
Clifford Kupono Hilo.
Uncle Des Kau.
Lakahelo Lands Landowner.
Mahalo, everybody, and thank you for all those who are able to attend today. Mahalo, Nui. Okay, and as always, welcome, Angela. Good to see you again. Hopefully, everything's going well in the continent. Aloha, Keone, you're here for. You're muted, brother. Cannot hear you. Sorry.
Aloha. I'm here to just to speak in behalf of our ohana and our burial cave that we have been preserving. So I'm not too sure when. Am I doing my testimony now or?
No, not yet. Just trying to recognize everybody who's here. Okay. Just trying to recognize everybody who's here.
Huh? Johnny.
Make sure that everybody gets a chance to recognize themselves.
Okay.
So then we're going to at least hearing what Kelly has to say for us today in regards to his cultural descendancy. And as I mentioned, we won't be able to make any decision, but we can again speak on your behalf at our next meeting in January. Kelly, you have the floor.
Hi, aloha, kakahiaka. This is Kelly. Just wanted to get into kind of my family and stuff like that. My mom, guys. My mom is Karina Makanaloa, married my father. We had two twins. She was a self-employed floral designer, also worked part-time at Hulige Palace. She just enjoyed making flower arrangements. My grandmother, Patsy Kili'i, or Tutsi, was born in Kainaliu. She was a nurse at Kyoho Rehab and a member of Lanakila Church in Kainaliu. She was a faithfully devoted Christian who loved to sing and read her Bible. My great-grandpa, Pila Kili'i, was born in Kainaliu. He was a cowboy employed by the Wa Ohana. He married Agnes Nomu'o and had 5 children. He was a tough man that enjoyed fishing, hunting, and rounding up cattle and providing for the family. As kids, he would tell us about his life growing up down at Kainaliu Beach, diving the caves of Red Hill to gather limukohu and throw net to provide for the family. My great-grandmother retired from Kona Inn Hotel, the old hotel. Most of my bringing up, everything was all done in Kainaliu, Ahupua'a. I grew up cattle ranching. I grew up doing rodeos and all the fun stuff. Also grew up throwing net. My great grandfather used to take me down to Otek to go gather limu and go down Red Hill to also gather limu and stuff like that, down at Nawawa Bay. Most of my family's stories and heritage comes out of Kainaliu, Red Hill, Ka'avaloa, all the way to Keoho. He also used to hike the military National Guard from Puakaloa on the old path down to Kainaliu for practices. So he was very familiar with the area. And he was also a faithfully devoted Christian and was also a member at the Lanakila Church congregation. His brothers and everybody were all born in Kainaliu also. My great-great-grandfather was born in Kainaliu Beach. They had a kuleana down there at one time. That's pretty much it, sir. There's a lot more to it. It's just, you know, this I could go, you know, to the end, but I don't like waste too much time with you guys.
Good job, Kelly. Mahalo nui. Sorry, when you said sir, I was looking around. Like, who are you talking to, sir? No, that's all right. Yeah, that's my father, bro. That's my father, sir. No. I just play with you. But mahalo for being here today and being able to speak on your behalf. Council members, anybody, any questions for Kelly right now? Clifford?
Father Kelly, I'm How's supporting you.
Thank you.
Testimony.
Thank you, Clifford. Thank you.
Mahalo la.
No questions. I just wanted to kind of also support Kelly on from my own perspective. You know, he's works down here at Hukulia. He is the site manager. He's been with us for 3.5-4 years, something like that. And he takes care of the crew down here. They malama aina down here, and you know, his application is for this place. I think his ohana has ties here, and it's so special for a descendant to be able to continue connecting to the space and working down here, and then to reclaim those connections to the iwi kupuna here. Super maikai. So he's worked really hard. I've been watching him through this process of doing his research and making these connections. And so I just kind of wanted to throw that out there. So much love and appreciation for our whole crew and for all the work he does down here as a descendant, as somebody who has pilina to this place. I will, when we vote, be rescinding my vote, but I wanted to say that because I'm so proud of him for going through this process.
Thank you. I just wanted to add something to, previously before this, for the past 12 years, I have worked closely with Billy Fields, doing a lot of reinterments around the state of Hawaii. Keaomoku Street, we did that up in Waimea Bay. We did some up there. I've restored all the heiaus down in Keoho for camp school. I was pretty much his lead guy to doing all the restorations in the state from Poipu to Hilo. So that's just a little bit of background for me.
Okay. Solid, man. Solid, guy. Right on. Anybody else? Council members? Uncle Desmond?
Anytime I hear more little from the west side, Fokona side, my tutu folks are from that side. So it was a joy to hear all of that. And mahalo for that. Plus law gives, it's a hard act to follow with law. So it's mahalo. Like that.
Yeah, I noticed the same paneling in the building, so you guys must be in the same structure. Since you mentioned it, Law, so look, hey, okay, I see.
Separate container, same designer.
Okay.
He's a mile up the hill.
Oh, right on. Well, Kelly, just so you know, as far as Shifty is concerned, they have recommended that we do recognize you as a cultural descendant, but again, unfortunately, we cannot vote today because of lack of quorum. And again, we truly apologize about that. But thank you for being here today.
I really appreciate all you guys and what you guys do. Yes.
And thank appreciate you. your manawa and your Ike you shared with us this morning. Solid. And it'll be an honor and privilege to, again, you're more than welcome to please join us next month as well. It'd be an honor and privilege to support you with this initiative. But mahalo nui. Mahalo nui.
Thank you guys.
Anybody else, anything with regards to item BA on our agenda? Thank you, Kelly. Again, you're more than welcome to hang out with us the rest of this time, and or we'll see you soon.
Aloha, you guys. You guys take care. You guys
you too, brother. Happy holidays. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, brother. Hui ho. Okay, folks, so we're going to go into item B, and it's update on Borough Site SIHP number 50-10-45-24851. Waikahikahi Iki Aupua Puna District, Island of Hawaii, TMK. Open parentheses 3, code parentheses 1-6-090, colon 055, 076, and 077. Information discussion update on the above item. Kia, are you going to be updating us on this one?
This is actually what Keone Alvarez came on for.
Solid.
He can have the mic.
Okay. Keone, you're it.
Yeah, mahalo nui. Thank you so much for allowing me to be on the agenda. I just kind of wanted to give everybody an update. My ohana is from my great-great-grandfather's name was Joseph Kahi Kolo, and he was from Pelekunu Molokai. My great-grandmother is Lapuku, Kealoha Lapuku Kaui, and she was from Kalapana, and also Wailua on Oahu. I just wanted to kind of give everybody an update. You know, it's been about 25 years in the fighting of to try and get our burial cave protected and preserved. And over the years, the state lost the records of our initial reporting. I am a cultural descendant recognized by State Historic Preservation Department and OHA and everything else to our genealogy. So, but what I'm doing today is I kind of wanted to just let everybody know where we're at and kind of what happened. At that time, Charlie Young was the chairman and he wrote a lot of recommendations. That's when Auntie Pele Hanoa was there. Auntie Adachi was also on the Island Burial Council as well. And a whole Auntie Ulu too. Anyways, but I'm just coming to you guys because I was only a cultural descendant and we discovered a burial site over, years ago of a burial cave in the forest near our home. When we discovered that as kids, we reported it. And ever since then, I became you know, the steward of making sure that the cave was not going to be desecrated in any kind of way. So I was 8 years old at that time. I'm 40 years old now. Time flies, but I still have that kuleana. Yeah. And ever since then, I didn't know how I was going to preserve our ancestors or how, but I knew that that was our ohana. And through our genealogy and our links to the area and by Kahikahi Iki, I was recognized as a descendant to that. So I'm continuing to teach my ohana about our ancestors. We don't know who exactly is in there. All I know is that that's our people. Yeah, and we got to preserve them. In the time being, there was a land developer wanted to develop. The land wasn't ours. So I decided to fight it in every way of how I could try and preserve them and make sure that house, those two homes wasn't going to be developed on our ancestors. Anyways, long story short, the landowner passed away, died, and we told him not to. There's a lot of mana on top of the property and within the cave, and people choose not to understand that. I know, and I know them. So the landowner passed away, died, and the descendants or the beneficiaries wrote to us, and it said, because they knew how long we've been fighting for this cave, and they kind of just gave it to us. So I just made the effort to say, okay, you know, I can work with that, just so that we can preserve them. You know, we shouldn't be purchasing our burial caves. It's just the situation we're in right now. Just recently, this cave goes about 300 feet, goes over several properties. Another landowner passed away, and the beneficiary trustees of it also called me up and said if I wanted it. I said, yes, I can do that. So today I own the whole entire cave. I don't consider myself as an owner. I'm a steward, always been. And it's been a long journey, but I just, what I want to accomplish from this thing is that I want to make sure that I want to put a buffer zone on the entire property as a preservation site. So the entire buffer zone is the size of the property. So nobody's going to be able, that's my recommendations. I know that we don't have quorum today, but, and then I also realized that many kupuna throughout the, that we don't know where they took them from. So I'm offering, and that's what my recommendation is that I want to make this site as a preservation site, the entire site, no hale, no home, no, nothing is going to be built on the property. This is for our Ivi kupuna, who's there that we know. Any Ivi that we find throughout that we know from Puna, we don't have an area that we can put them. You know, I want to designate this site as a place, not as a dumping place for our Ivi, but, and not to be put into the cave. At the surface of the cave, at least they can separate it and not grouped up like how they're doing it on Oahu. Every bone, if we don't know where they came from, they're all going to be individually buried. And my kuleana is to malama that and take responsibility of that. And that is the purpose of why we got this place. And I strongly believe that that's my responsibility and our ohana's responsibility to continue that. And we've been doing it for many generations. We've been protecting burials on Oahu. Our family just does it. And that's just part of who we are. And I didn't realize that until later when I did all my genealogy, finding out where my family came from, who my family were. I've done a lot of research, and I've done a film about it. It took about 20 years in the making. So there's a lot of people who's involved in it, and I get it of how it all works. So, but I'm just saying, from where I'm at, I wanted to give everybody a follow-up that I preserved our site, the entire site, And I wanted to give recommendation from the owner. I'm the owner. My name is All On It. That I want to make it the entire site or the all the pieces of property as a complete buffer zone so that nobody will be able to build near it, on it, wherever. And then also, I wanted to ask the Island Borough Council to give recommendation that to the state that if there's any EV, rather than putting it on state lands and national lands and all that, we can set it up in a way that this place will be preserved forever as a burial site.
Sorry, Keone, you got frozen. We didn't hear the last statement you made. And you're muted. You're muted, bro.
So that was just kind of my recommendation to, and I know we don't have quorum right now. So I just was giving testimony to ask the Island Borough Council to, from the owner myself, I'm saying that I would like the whole property to be a buffer zone. I don't want anything to be built on there, any hale in perpetuity forever. I'm offering also, if we have EV that's still in, with Shipti, or even if our EV comes home and we don't know exactly where they come from, then they have a place that we can put them. And if we have to set it up so that it's going to be like a cemetery, a first Hawaiian, or traditionally Hawaiian cemetery, then or burial ground or wahipana, then this is the place to put them. So and that's what I feel my responsibility is continuing that. And that's what I would like to offer as the owner. I'm the steward and I will continue to be that. But and I know this place has a lot of mana and a lot of people who came here. They already know that. So I'm just sharing it with you guys. Yeah. So another thing too, there's another piece of property that I was talking to Kale about that's adjacent to the property that next to the burial cave. The landowner, there's another landowner that wanted to develop a home on there. And we told him because it's so close kind of to the property line, I'm not too sure if there's more burials there. So but what he said, what the landowner is saying, because he's not looking at all the reports, there was reports that there is burials that's within the cave. He's thinking it's a homicide kind of thing. So he's seen the last report so that it was more closer towards the entrance of the cave, that there was another discovery of burials when we went in there with Nancy, the archaeologist. So there was another reporting that after we went in, we noticed that there was another one. So Nancy said she'll send out somebody else. I was out of country at that time, so I was traveling around the world. And there was an archaeologist that went in. I have his report. But when the landowner, this new landowner, looked at the report, he's just looking at it as that was the only burials that he's seen. But he didn't see the previous reports about when there's more burials within the cave, right? So because he was just making like, oh, that he's not too sure if it's 100 years old because it could be a homicide, but we already know the way our kupuna positioned it and they already know how old the bones are, that it was ancient. But people are gonna just like do whatever, like the other landowners, they think they can do whatever, and then whatever happens to them happens to them. So I just told him that, but what he said is that if we have a report that says that that there was burials more in the cave that he doesn't see, which I have the reports, he said he's going to be, he would be willing to give it to us. So I just kind of wanted to, I know that's not true in him because I know how they talk and how they are, but I would just like the recommendation from the Island Bear Council just to say something like, according to Keone, you mentioned that if there was reportings before that, you would actually give him the property. Although I know he's not going to do that, I just making sure that, because I know where he's coming from. So, but I know where we're coming from too. You know, so I just was asking the Island Mirror Council if we could just update the landowner to let him know that there are, because when he purchased it, it was already flagged. Everybody knew about it. So whatever the deal that he purchased it was probably really cheap. So he did it knowingly. So I don't feel anything for him, because if you go to this planning department, I had everybody sign off when we had it, the Island Borough Council as well, send them all the reports, all the landowners before him, and they knew about it. So there's no way of him saying that he did not know about the purchase, and still he's stuck with it, like a lot of them was. But now they just either they passed away or they just willing to just, I told him I'm willing to work with him, right? So but when it, now he's up to $40,000, I'm just like, that's his mind, where his mind is at. So it doesn't there's not going to be a compromise, because none of the properties that we purchased was even near anything like that. He's just thinking about selling, like how the other property owners was trying to do before. But like I said, I own the whole cave, so I know, you know, it's protected. It's just that this area is, there's property burials in the area too that I don't know about that's there, and we just don't want them to be pushing and then they're gonna discover these kind of things. So I offered to take it from him, you know, to work out some kind of agreement that we can, you know, slowly pay for it or whatever. But when they shoot up to 40,000, they just have already of my making money. But what he ended up saying at the end was that, oh, well, if the Island Borough Council can give him a letter saying that there was a report before, then he has, he's, which I just know that's not true, but I just want to let him know that it was documented before. We do have documentation, and the report that he, that I sent to him was the most current one, but then there was reports before that. Because I was just trying to, just to let him know that there, you know, there's reports and there's, it's documented. I'm recognized as a cultural descendant to the burials, and if they do hit something, I'm going to let them know. You know what I mean? So just don't, and it's already flagged, you know, by everybody, and everybody knows that the area is high for burials. So that's kind of where we're at on that.
Well, mahalo Keone for that information. I know we will re-agendize these items that we're not able to make decisions on for next month's meeting. So that we're able to start making some decisions and some determinations as well. In lieu of that, knowing that you, so do you own the whole property the cave's on, or just where the cave, the length of the cave?
No, I own the whole thing.
The whole thing. Okay. The boundaries, everything then.
Yeah. So okay. I own, it's in three parcels right now.
Okay. Are you starting to work with Kea to create a burial treatment plan?
That's what I was trying to talk to Kea about, is I wanted to create my own treatment plan, because I'm, you know, it's under my name. So I wanted to create a treatment plan just to, for the future, because even beyond me, you know, I just wanted to make it very clear that the whole cave was going to be a preservation site. And Charlie Young, them, when Charlie was the chair, that's what they put. There's no septic tank, no home. They put that for the landowners before, you know, so just so that they wasn't going to develop onto the, put a cesspool and whatnot. you know, near their place. But now that it's under my protection, I just wanted to write my own treatment plan, pass it to the board or the state, and then just and then whatever recommendation, it's good for the recommendation. At least it's coming from a council's point of view too, and it's kind of seconding me. So in the future, at least it's going to be documenting that we want the site really preserved. Yeah, and no hale, no Hawaiian, any kind of structure. And because once you start doing that, it slowly spreads, and then people start doing more things than what they're supposed to. Yeah. So we just want to keep it a forest and just preserved and just malama. And I do it daily, and you know, it's a lifestyle, you know.
That Braille, it's imperative that we have that Braille treatment plan, because it helps us to enforce the rights that you have as a cultural descendant. Yeah, because our kulana is to the Ivi and to the lineal and cultural descendant. So my suggestion this time is to work with Kea to create that Braille treatment plan, so that we have something to work off of. And then from there, we can start to make our recommendations with regards to other concerns you may have or other suggestions you may have as well. Thank you very much for offering the place as a repository as well. Although it's important that we do due diligence in order to get the EV back to where they actually came from. But we do know there are some times when that's it's very hard to do. We do understand that. So I do mahalo you definitely for that suggestion for sure. But of course, the only kuleana we really have is recognition of we should be having a lot more kuleana, but according to the way it is now, is a recognition of lineal and cultural descendancies and definitely preservation in place of the EV or disinterment. Everything else are recommendations, but I would say most times SHPD will follow those recommendations. But it's imperative that as you have now, not only as the as a cultural descendant, but as a landowner, as the landowner as well, that, to me, that's awesome, because that even gives you more fuel for that Braille treatment plan as well. Mm-hmm. That's my suggestion at this point in time. Council members, anybody else? Anything? Clifford.
Yeah, Keone, mahalo for your testimony, and I personally will support you in your effort. Based upon your testimony today and what you've said, I'm led to believe that you're earnest and sincere. And so I totally support that. If I might make a suggestion, I would suggest that you get some legal counsel. This boarding property is considered an infringement. The burial plan, for your information, is in a dispute resolution, is considered a mitigation plan. That's one of the forms of alternative dispute. Litigation is also one of those options. So they basically don't tell the people you can litigate. They say, oh, burial plan, it's mitigation. Yeah. So the litigation comes with financial compensation. So my suggestion is that you can get some legal counsel on this, and they'll help you aside from whatever the burial council is going to do, because the only option we provide is a mitigation plan, burial plan. You know, what is that, right? So you know you've been all through this and all that haka, the bullshit that's going on, and you want to step aside and take that conversation to another level. And that you're going to need legal counsel. So I would suggest that you do that. And no one knows your situation better than you based upon your testimony and for those that would surround you. So this landowner, you know, he's off the wall, right? He's just trying to hold you up. And so just drag his ass to court and let your attorney, like, put it to him. But then again, thank you so much for your testimony.
Mahalo, man.
Really moved by that. So,
Mahalo nui. Also, Kia, any previous documentation with regards to the specific burial area would be great to get a hold of, especially when Uncle Charlie was chair, I'm sure, of the burial council at that time. All that data should be, all that information should be somewhere for sure, definitely in the files. And if you could help us to acquire that, that'd be awesome. So we'd also have that as evidence, for lack of a better term. To help us move forward to make the right decisions. Also, Keone, although I'm a firm believer that the Kupa Aina, the Kama Aina know their place better than anybody else, it is also good though for the those that are just stuck in a Western mindset to have an archaeologist just to check to make sure. you know, just to verify one more time, you know what I mean, to dot that I and cross that T, so that this other land owner who wants 40 grand, pretty much, so sorry, bro, checkmate, yeah, we want to checkmate this, or we're going to play Konani, yeah, you know, can move, so anyway, that's how, so it'll just help to reinforce the situation,
thank you.
But again, I'm definitely going to make sure we re-agendize this item for next meeting. I would hope you could be able to attend again. I truly appreciate you being here today. And again, I call my Yahoo for not having a quorum so we could actually make some kind of better determination decisions today. But I applaud your efforts, brother, what you're doing for your Ohana, both those that have come before and those that are here today and those that will come in the future. You guys are setting a precedent, and that's very, very important for our people to see. Kudos to you, Hawaii. Good job. Mahalo nui. Mahalo nui. Any other council members? Uncle Desmond?
I echo council member Kapono and also Nale, and it's refreshing to have a young person such as yourself undertaking this kuleana. It's refreshing. I love it. It's so good. Good feeling. Manao is my kai. When they ask for documentation, it's the Western mindset, yeah? Our documentation is embedded in our pule, in our ole, or mo'olelo. That's where our documentation is. And unless you embrace our culture and who we are, they'll never understand that. And go get representation, as Council Member Kapono suggested. I think to preserve your mana'o and your kuleana, I think it's important that we give them the Western side documentation. So there's no question in the future, especially you're setting a plate for our future generations to succeed, and also an example for our young people to come forward and step up to this. One other thing I wanted to share in Puna, born and raised in Puna, I have a lot of kuleana there also. Dating back many, many years on the first arrival, you know, there was one of the sites, yeah, they first landed in Puna. So there's a lot of Ivy there. I'm working with Keone folks down at Kumukahi. We're setting up some movement there. But I just congratulate you. It's really awesome, your work. Mahalo. Yeah, mahalo, Keone.
Thank you.
Mahalo. La?
I'm just in agreement with Uncle Clifford and Uncle Desmond and Uncle Malay. It's very special that you are a descendant and the landowner. Oftentimes you see the landowner working with the descendants doing the consultation, right? You don't have to do that. I mean, obviously you will, because you're Ohana, you guys can talk story and stuff, but you are the landowner. And typically the landowner is responsible for developing some sort of mitigation, as Uncle Clifford had mentioned. And that's where we come in, you know, we make recommendations on that. What you're doing is exactly what needs to be done. But the beauty of it is that you don't have to pull teeth with some landowner who's, you know, from the Aina'e and everything and doesn't know left from right. You are, as an Ohana, making the decisions that are best for your iwi kupuna. So, as you know, again, just reiterating, getting that legal consult, getting that support, and making sure that your plans to preserve this the property in its entirety and in perpetuity is protected on a level that cannot be disputed. You know, making sure that you've got that palapala that we recognize on the Western side of things that we don't need within our own Ohana, we don't need in our community, but we do need it to protect our community and to protect our iwi. So definitely support you going through that process and making sure that all of your plans to preserve and how you'd like to see that done and all the logistics are protected on a legal level.
Mahalo, thank you.
I've been involved with so many fundraising. I think maybe Keone can start a GoFundMe to buy our lands back.
right. So right now, I just kind of wanted to let you guys know. So I've been, because I'm a filmmaker, yeah? And before, so I've been filming, you know, my whole journey. I didn't expect me to be in the film or anything like that, because I'm looking, you know, as us as Hawaiians, we like to think it as a whole, yeah? And not to be, oh, I'm the front runner, I'm the leader. But after, you guys just got to see it. I mean, it's one of it's when you guys see it, it's gonna be a really eye opener for a lot of people, educationally for our own people, our different burial methods and how we did it, why we did it, and then also what's going on today, you know. So it's gonna be coming out next year. I wrote 4 books about our burials. I did a children's book. It just came out. It's on Amazon. So it's gonna, and it's about a bear. It's kind of my little, but anyways, so this is going to be a lot. And that was my whole thing, is that I wanted to share, because I went through the whole thing and it wasn't like I just had the property, you know. This took 20 something years of fighting with this landowner and, you know, the whole emotions wrapped up all in it. And it rightfully so, that we feel that. But you know, at least I can say, and I wanted to find out what was the end result would be, whether the cave was going to get destroyed, whether I was going to be successful. But this is a long journey. I didn't know what it was going to take, and you know, to do it, but it ended up in our favor. And I hopefully, I want everybody to see that if you believe in something, you got to just really, it's going to take commitment. You know, if the struggle is long, the journey is long, but you just got to hold on, you know, and you got to believe it, especially what our ancestors and what they believed in. So as long as you just stay with that and the Pono thing with that, and not getting involved in too much issues, because that's not our kuleana too, yeah? So, but you hang on and you fight for them, they know that, and they're going to just be there with for you all the way. Because I'm telling you, there's things that everybody's just like, how to, you know, but they know the intent of what I was, you know, what I'm trying to do. And that is just to help our people, you know. And this is a culture, a part of our culture that is very huna, right? Very hidden. But we need to start letting our people know and appreciate, because we love to talk about our ancestors, but we got to really malama them and be there for not only talking about them, but keeping them here, keeping them where they're at. You know, that's what the whole thing is about. But I just wanted to mahalo you and, you know, the board, and the board even before that was helping me, because they knew, you know, what I was trying to do. And it's good that I can look back, you know, because my vision didn't change even as young as I was. And to look back to see, sometimes you might think you change, yeah, over time. But I'm glad I stood the same and didn't change, yeah. And that's why I think it all worked out.
Well, one thing I definitely can say, Keone, you see all those Anakalas with the gray hair, we haven't changed either. So
we're kupa'a, because it's
important and it's part of who we are. But definitely your fortitude and your perseverance, for life return, paid off, because the ancestors have heard you, and look what you have today, you know. So the journey has been awesome. And as an educator, I look forward to seeing your documentation and reading your books as well. So thank you for that.
Okay.
Council members, anything else for Brother Keone right now? Clifford?
So as a point of reference, given that Keone has made this film and he's testified that he has publications, I would suggest that at our next meeting that we consider having the state purchase the film and the books with the base price starting at $1.5 million. And whatever the council decides that that's fair to really support the community. So, you know, a lot of brothers get hung up because they need the kala to get the better attorney. They need the money to get the consultants. So the guys with the money are who? Guys that are buying and owning the land. And so we're getting screwed on that. So that, you know, something to consider for the board. And when we find an asset like this, we really leverage this to our highest predictable positive outcome. And, you know, I just say that, I don't know, Keone, my mother was a burial counselor, Joanne Connor Moku, this is like years ago. And she told me about that. One reason why I never wanted to be on this council. But Scott Mahoney went army, said, come on, bro, you need to be on this. Otherwise, it was me, and I probably wouldn't. So I know all that. Pibikia, I don't know personally like you, but I've heard about it over the years. And to see Opio like you, you know, and Law, you too. This is what we need. Law, you should consider law school. I know you get it in you, Tito. So This is what we need. You guys are the future. And the best we can do, really, my manal, we get out of your way. Yeah. So we just give you the tools that we have that we didn't use fully. And we just, you know, give that to you. And then we support you as best as we can. So, you know, that's just my manal. But I'm going to support you. Whatever you're doing, you know, I'm a positive vote for you. And you're
yeah. Is
our moral appeal.
Yeah, mahalo nui. Thank you guys so much for everything. Really appreciate it.
Mahalo nui. Of course, one more thing I do want to say is that if I'm mistaken, in the attorney language, there's such a thing as pro bono in there, where they do it for free. Anyway, just asking. I always wonder where all these Hawaiian attorneys disappear to. But anyway, any attorney for that matter. But anyway, Keone, thank you so much, brother.
Okay.
Please have a great weekend and a great holiday season, and we'll see you soon. And okay. Aloha to you and your family. Ahui ho malama pono. Thank you. Mahalo nui. Okay, Ohana, so we're going to go into C, update on Hawaii Island EV inventory and temporary creation at Shipti. Kia?
Okay, so this one was at the request of the council last month. So it looks like we have 6 boxes in our storage right now. They are not full boxes, they're fragments, maybe containing a tooth or, you know, they're all fragments. So they're not, none of them are full EV, but we do have 6 boxes. One box for Hilo, 1 box for Honaunau, 1 box from the Waimea area, 1 box from Puna, 1 box from Oahu, and a box from Saipan. We used to have a lot of North Kona EV, but we reinterred those within the past year. We were able to get all of them back into the ground. Most of the EV that we have were found prior to 2001. One of them going as far back as well, 1974, but I don't know when that was transferred into SHPD's custody. And so all of this EV is in, you know, temporary curation until we can find a suitable place to reinter. But some of them do have places to go back. Like one of the, in the Puna box, we have the Kumukahi EV, which is going to go back in once the BTP is completed for Kumukahi. And it looks like most of these were not discovered by SHPD, but was given to SHPD from previous firms. I'm assuming a lot of them might have come from Rosendahl once upon a time when he was, you know, when he had his firm. And after he passed away, I know he gave all of his whatever he had in his, you know, collection, whether it was reports or other artifacts or EV. I know he transferred all of those over to SHPD. And the Oahu, I don't know if the Oahu box actually had EV. I know there were some shells and stuff in that box. And the Saipan we were trying to look up, we don't know where that came from at all. And I tried to reach out to the Saipan Cultural Resource Office, but I cannot get a hold of those people. But yeah, we don't want anybody from Saipan here. We want to get them back to. Were there any questions about
any of the other ones from this island? We know where exactly where they're from. I mean, we know like Waimea, was the exact location or
some of them have site numbers. And I would say, you know, there's 6 boxes, but there's a total of 4, 5, 9, 10, 11, 12. There's a total of 12 individual
within those boxes.
Yeah. So
what is your plan right now for reinterring and getting our EV back, you know, where they belong? What is the steps moving from here to avoid, you know, them sitting in boxes for however many.
So some of them have TMKs, so I can, you know, can definitely reach out to the where they came from, the ones that have TMKs. The ones that don't have a TMK, or one of them said it was brought to UH Hilo Anthropology in 2001, and all it says is it's from East Hawaii. So, you know, I'm not sure if somebody came across Evie somewhere, brought it to UH Hilo because they didn't know where to put it, and UH Hilo is like, oh, okay, it's Evie, let's give it to SHPD. And so for, you know, for those, I'm not too sure where to start to try and figure out where to put them. Like the North Kona one was easy, and, you know, we worked with Nicole and Jimmy on that, and, you know, they had a place specific for reinterment. And so that one was, you know, when I saw that opportunity, you know, we jumped at it to make sure at least everybody from North Kona got back into, and most of South Kona. The only ones that we kept from South Kona was Honaunau, but that one is a little different. That one is in metal boxes, but they have other artifacts in there, like bottles and a handkerchief and glasses. So that one, we're not sure if that one, how historic that one is, because it looks like it was found with other way post-contact artifacts. Back to the plan, you know, just trying to find somebody, you know, what we try and do is find somebody in the Ahupa, of course, you know, if that's completely impossible, which at times it is, you know, it's hard to find a landowner especially if we don't know where it came from, it's hard to find a landowner willing to inter, but the ones that have TMKs, you know, like, we can definitely reach out to them and see, you know, if they're willing to take, if somebody in that area is willing to take the EV back onto their property.
Okay. Council members, any questions? Mahalo for trying to contact Saipan. Do we need to take a trip to Saipan in order to get those back? just a question. I volunteer. Or anybody else? we get plenty of volunteers here. And then also that box for Oahu. Because we know that there's a borough council there, yeah. So it'd be nice to get that to Oahu as soon as possible. Council members, any questions?
No. I just have a comment. Our ancestors did voyage to that side of the Pacific, especially Saipan, when we sailed there to bring Makali'i back. There was some presentation from the Chamorros there that had family ties with Kanaka Mauli. So just a point of information, I guess.
Mahalo and Kala. Thank you. And you said one goes as far back as 1974?
Yeah, that's the Honaunau one.
Whew.
Wow.
Time, yeah, man. We were going to reinter them with the rest of the Kona. But, you know, like I said, that one was a little different only because they were in the way they were... yeah, there's a pair of glasses in there, a handkerchief, and I saw some like bottles, like I don't know if they were old medicine bottles or they were glass bottles though, that supposedly all came from the same site. So that's one that's a little bit more, you know, I don't know if maybe somebody passed out somewhere on the side of the road in that area. But that one, you know, I did talk to the National Park for that. They said if we don't have evidence that it actually came from within the park, they're not going to take it.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. I do know they have a repository at Honaunau as well.
Yeah.
In past years, there was some EV that needed to go there, but they need evidence that it came from their park in order for it to go there.
Yeah, they said if not, they won't be willing to accept the transfer of custody for
them. Okay.
Interesting.
Okay. Yeah, very interesting. Mahalo for that. That burst that bubble. Okay. Mahalo.
Yeah.
What about, it's probably a shot in the dark, what about the National Historic Trail? Because it traverses through that area and that's probably in that corridor. Would they consider? I mean, it's not the park. It runs through Honaunau, runs through all the Ahupua'a.
Mm-hmm.
And
you know, if there was a place that was suitable for reinterment and the landowners were willing to take that on, then that would be fine. Or, you know, I think at this point it doesn't even have to be in the exact same Ahupua. You know, like what we did in North Kona, we've had it for so long that we just decided, okay, instead of trying to hunt for the next few years or, you know, whatever, trying to find a suitable place within the exact Ahupua, we just put all of North Kona back in that. I think within two different reinterment times with Nicole and Jimmy.
Okay. Malala for that suggestion, for sure. That's a good one. Anybody else with regards to this agenda item right now? Kia, if you could just, I'm going to start making that attempt to contact those TMKs to see if it's possible to get those other EV reinterred or those fragments, that'd be greatly appreciated. And again, if we could update at the next meeting as well, that would also be appreciated, please. In fact, I wouldn't mind giving this update every meeting until we finally get all of them back home. So we know what's happening. Yeah.
Aloha. My name is, can I say a couple words? My name is Diane Fitzsimmons.
Yes, Auntie, please.
Yes. Okay. Aloha.
Aloha.
I'm Diane Fitzsimmons. Actually, I sit on the Oahu Island Burial Council.
Solid.
With Wailua, but my family is from Hawaii Island. Okay. So from Kohala, I was born in Hilo. Puna, Kau, Ho'onaunau, and also South Kona. So my great-great-grandmother is from Ho'onaunau. So I don't know why I'm here today, but I'm logged in and this came up. So you say 1974, that's a long time ago, but did they know exactly where it was the graves were disinterred from, the EV?
You know, there's not too much record on there. The only way I got the information was the labeling that was on the box.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There is a name of the person who I think discovered them. But, I can try and see if that person is, still alive. I'm not sure if he'd still be alive.
Okay. Yeah, because actually I'm also a lineal descendant of Kwaihau, right? And I'm a lineal descendant to my chuchu, who is from born in Ho'onaunau. So I know for a fact that a lot of the burials, they'll have bottles in them, like you mentioned, but a lot of them are perfume bottles that they would put with the bodies, you know, to. Because they weren't necessarily buried right away, so they would put there's a lot of perfume bottles in the different burials. So you might think that those bottles are perfume bottles from a long time ago. But anyway, yeah, so interesting that I would be here at this meeting, but I'll keep my prayer, my puli there to get your burials back as your Ibi Kupuna back into as close to where they came from as soon as possible. Mahalo for listening for me. Oh. Okay.
Mahalo nui loa for your input, and thank you for being here today. Thank you. Mahalo.
I am here for a reason, I guess.
Everything happens for a reason, meant to be.
Yeah.
Meant to be. Well, thank you so much. Mahalo. Okay, anything else, folks, with regards to, again, this item C on the updates? And again, we look forward to hearing updates next, where we're at with these updates next week, next month as well. Okay, and thank you very much for sharing this with us. Mahalo nui. Appreciate it. Okay, number D, folks, a discussion of Hawaii Island Borough Council membership roles and responsibilities. If anything, just let you know that the Borough Working Group is still moving forward with suggestions to the legislature and how improvements can be made to the Borough's program and Shifty as far as the Borough's go. It is a work in progress. Myself and both Kea sit on that Borough Sites Working Group. It's a good group of people to be sitting with, like Malia Akutagawa, Kai Markel, Hale Aloha Ayao. So it's a really, really good group to be sitting with. Also getting input from like Alan Murakami and people like that, people that I hold in high regards, and people that have done this work for many, many years. So it is moving forward. And the goal, of course, is to have shortly a report that can be given to the legislature with regards to recommendations as to how we can move forward to ensure that the EV and Lino culture descendants have more, that their rights are that the rights that they should have are upheld or given, I guess. And of course that we as borough council members or and or whoever sits in the borough councils has a lot more leeway in terms of what we can and cannot do. Yeah. So it is a work in progress, just so everybody knows. Any questions, anybody right now about that? Yes, Clifford.
One thing I think that we learned today is that we need better accountability for testimonies and the preservation of prior records and that. So that's not being done. So whether we got a quorum or not, it's my position that the state needs to be more responsible by evidence of those who've testified today over accounting over the last generation, over 20 years. It's been really sloppy. So they need to get their act together and tighten that up. Because what that leads to is negligence. And if negligence is proven, then you have no case. And all this stuff starts to fall apart. So it behooves the state to get their act together, well document the testimonies that have been made, preserve that so that a future generation can draw from that to see what precedents were established and what wasn't. And can anybody tell me like why the AG is not here today?
I'm not sure why nobody came on today.
Yeah, so you know, this is seriously, you know, we're talking about the law, we're talking about liability, we're talking about negligence, we're talking about these important issues. AG needs to get there equally at these meetings. If we individually can show up, we're not getting compensated to be here. But if you want to compensate me, I've got a published rate per hour, my consulting rate. I'm good to show up all day. But these people who are being paid by our taxes, they need to show up. So, okay, if you can make that mandatory, and you know, brother, nothing on you, you're probably one of the most best state workers I've ever seen. So I really appreciate what you're doing. If we had more people like you, I think we wouldn't have a lot of these problems. But if you can just mention, we need to have good documentation, and the AG needs to be here, no matter what. If we're here, they need to be here too. And hey, we need to be here until law gets her law degree and she can represent better. They need to have a real there.
Point well made.
Yes, yes. And just to know, Clifford, that point has been brought up at this borough sites working group as well about the lack of support from the AG's office. Just so you're aware of that, yeah? Okay, nothing else with that then. We're into the next segment, is inadvertence, an inadvertent discovery of unidentified human skeletal remains encountered on October 12, 2021 in Hokukano Village, Hokukano Ahupua'a, North Kona District, Island of Hawaii, TMK open parentheses 3, close parentheses 7-9-012:003. Notification of discussion on the above inadvertent discovery. Okay, you got that one?
Yeah, so that one is preserved in place. We worked with law on that, and we worked with, we worked with Hokuli on that, which is law, and Mike Vitusek. We worked with Jimmy Medeiros on that. And so at first, Jimmy did want to relocate. He thought the remains were, he thought they, you know, that they were just individual, you know, or fragmented and separated, and that they were just on the beach by, you know, natural erosion. But after a little bit of testing, we found that it was an in situ burial. And so that one is preserved in place there. And so at some point, Jimmy's going to be working on making a little preservation area for those remains.
Okay, cool. Mahalo nui loa.
I don't know if Law wanted to add anything on to
Just that, so the overall, you know, Uncle Jimmy initially thought that not only was it, you know, separated from the rest of the, you know, these were just pieces that had maybe shifted because of erosion or natural events, but he was also just worried about the water conditions, the exposure of the EV in the first place. It's in a sandy area right off of the coastline on the cliff. So there's been EV in the past in that area that have been exposed during really, really high surf. So, you know, he was a little worried about continued issues with that. So after the exploratory excavation, you know, as Kale said, he kind of decided, you know, the EV are in situ, it's right where it's supposed to be. So now we just got to make sure we take care of it. And I will just say that, you know, one of the things that we've all been talking about in that area is that it's very sandy. So Uncle Jimmy's kind of, I'm working with him. The mana'o that we came up with was with Kea guys, as well as native plant ground cover to just keep that sand pa'a and cover the iwi so that, because it's also in a pohoihoi area. So people tend to, it's in a park, you know, the on the shoreline, it's a public area. So people tend to walk in this area, you know, the path of least resistance is important to people, and sand is, people are kind of like, oh, I'm going to walk here. So we want to make sure people don't walk over it. So keeping the trails away from it, keeping the, and then getting the EV covered, not just with the sand or with a paw of some sort made out of stone, but putting native plant cover on the ground, reestablishing native plant cover possibly so that we can keep them protected in perpetuity. That's just where they're at right now, is just talking about that.
Mahalo. Mahalo, Lau, for that update. Thank you. Good job. Thank you very much for that. Mahalo. Anybody else, anything with regards to this inadvertent? Okay. Next, I think, is lunch. No, just sorry about that. Sorry, Kea. We keep making a little digs. Yeah, sorry about that, brother. But anyway, I got my own eye just in case. Back up. Anything else, folks, with for this meeting here? Because it is pretty much the end of our agenda for right now, for this month.
Move to adjourn.
Anything? Okay, we have a motion to adjourn. Is there a second? Okay. Motion been made by Uncle Desmond and Law. Motion made by Uncle Desmond, seconded by Law, that we adjourn this meeting of December 16th, 2021. Okay, all those in favor stipulate by saying aye. Aye. All those opposed, aole. And our next meeting is scheduled for Thursday, January 20th, 2022. And again, right now it's online via Zoom.